And therefore, this evening, in this last Lord's Day evening of 2016, I want us to turn to the Old Testament scriptures and to the book of Proverbs and to chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27, in the first verse. And in many ways, it's almost as though Proverbs 27, verse 1, it's like the springboard that James used in terms of what it is that he was writing about those who boast about tomorrow and so on. And in Proverbs 27 and 1, we read this: "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Well, let me begin by asking the question, do you ever wish that you knew what was going to happen tomorrow? Let's think of some of the scenarios in which you might think that it would be helpful to know what tomorrow had in store for you. If it is that you're going to sit an exam, and many of us perhaps might be tempted, if we could see the paper that we're going to be given tomorrow, just to have a little look at it to see had we studied the right parts of the course and so on, and the sort of questions that were going to come up. It might be good for us to know what happened tomorrow. What about if you're having to face major surgery? Some of us have had over the past year a number of times, to know not only if it is that the surgery went well, but if it is that we woke up from the surgery, and what would therefore transpire in the days that lay ahead in terms of a recuperation. What about perhaps starting that new job, wondering what your employer is going to be like, wondering what your work colleagues, etc., if it is that they're going to accept you and so on, how good it would be perhaps to be able to take away those first day nerves, if you could have a peek into tomorrow and how it was that the day would transpire. And then I think that probably a vast number of folk who are out there and give no thought to a salvation or to the care of their soul, it is that if they bought a lottery ticket, one of the things that they would love to do is to be able to look to the next day when it is that the lottery numbers are given, and then before it, put the numbers in their ticket and be made multi-millionaires. And it is that we could go on like this, and I'm sure each one of you could give a scenario where it is that you think, well, it might be quite good to be able to look into tomorrow and to see what it is that tomorrow holds for us. And if it's like that in terms of a day, how much more then perhaps in terms of a year and even a lifetime it is that we've rapidly gone through 2016 and we stand very much at the threshold of 2017. And how good we think it might be to know what it is that the year ahead holds for us as a congregation, and indeed the year ahead holds for our nation, and so on. And yet we know that when tomorrow comes, and when it is that we've experienced the tomorrow that we were looking forward to, as we thought, I wanted to know something about, often it's the case that we're glad that we didn't know what was going to happen to us tomorrow and what it was that tomorrow actually had in store for any one of us. You see, knowing all things beforehand is something that can have a very negative effect upon us on the way in which it is that we live this life in the present, far less in terms of what it is that we'll do in the future and the days that God would give to us. And it's this that I think, this sort of thinking and reasoning, that ties in not only with this series of texts that we've been considering, how it is that the scripture speaks about tomorrow and what it is that we consider as we come to the end of another year, but also in terms of how it is that even at the end of this year, that we would consider the days ahead that God would give to us. And that's why it is that tonight, we've read from James, and now we go back to the book of Proverbs, and we read these words at the beginning of chapter 27, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." And while it is that God's word is that which teaches us the way to heaven, it also provides us with great teaching that would aid us and encourage us as we find ourselves in this scene of time and having to go through day after day after day after day. And it is that here I think we have a prime example of this teaching as given to us here in Proverbs 27 and 1. It is that God, through the Spirit, as he gives us this word, is giving us teaching that makes us not only wise for this world, but it's teaching that makes us wise and instructs us as to how it is that we must conduct our affairs in this world and in the day-to-day life and lifestyle that would be ours. And I think we're being reminded, as so often we're being reminded throughout Scripture, when it is that we come upon this theme, is that not only do we need spiritual illumination, but it is that as creatures of this scene of time, it is that we need temporal wisdom. And it is that we need to be able to number our days aright, to apply our heart unto wisdom. That it is that we need to have something, I think, of that Issacharian spirit, whereby it is that the men of Issachar were men who understood the times, who understood not only what it was that took place in the past, but understood that where it was that they were now in the present, that they could learn from the past and then apply that as the days ahead came to be. And so it is that there's a temporal wisdom that God is able to give to his people in every age. And it should be that the children of the world, in a sense, have more wisdom with regard to these things than the children of God. So that's why it is that I want to spend just a short time this evening considering the implications of what we have here and tying it up with what other parts of Scripture has to say concerning how we understand our place in the present and with regard to any future that God would give to us. First thing I think we can see here in Proverbs 27 and 1 is that we're warned against the mishandling of tomorrow. We're warned against the mishandling of tomorrow. It is that we are creatures of time and space. And for that very reason, it is that often we, and of necessity, we think about tomorrow. Now, we're not being told not to think about tomorrow. We're not being told not to plan about the various tomorrows that God would give to us. But what it is that we're being specifically told here in this verse, and along with James, is that we're being told not to boast about tomorrow. So the question is, why is it that we're being told not to boast about tomorrow? Well, first thing is, it's extremely foolish to boast at all. Boasting never makes anybody, in any circumstance, greater in the esteem of others. If anything, it produces very much the opposite effect. We all know what it's like when we're in the presence of someone, and it is that they're boasting about themselves all the time, what it is that they've done, what it is that they haven't done. And it is that they're trying to make you feel that it's almost a privilege for you to be in their own presence and them allowing you to spend a time with them. And it is that we know that boasting, except boasting in Christ, doesn't make you better emotionally, doesn't add anything to your physical presence, doesn't add anything, as it were, to your spiritual standing and so on. You can boast about who and what it is that you want to, but you're none the better for your boasting. And as I've said, if anything, people will probably think the worst of you. You can't multiply your wealth by boasting about it. You cannot increase your pleasures by boasting about them. And yet the sad thing is, the day and age in which God has placed us, one of the words that could characterize this generation is that it's a generation that boasts. It's a generation that's proud. And it boasts and it's proud in terms of its own achievements and what it is that it can do. A number of years ago, it seems that there was a gentleman who had been invited to an evening get-together in Washington. And really what it was one of these networking parties that businessmen and others have, where it is that not only are they enjoying the various pieces of food and drink that have been provided for them, but it is that they network, and it is that they hope to make not just communication, but leads of one sort or another that would be for their benefit, and so they say for the benefit of the other person. But basically, they're almost thinking about themselves all the time. And it is that this individual was at one of these events, and it is that he said that the people there, that they weren't so much potential friends, but as potential commodities. And it was that they hoped that in some small way each would rub upon the other, and it is that there would be an increase of something in their life. And when it was that these people discovered that the man that was in their midst, that he was a newspaper reporter, and he was a newspaper reporter for an influential newspaper, it was that they began to fawn over him. It was that the word started to spread, and rather than being one or two with him, very soon there was a large crowd that was surrounding him and wanting to engage in conversation with him. And this gentleman said that it was something that began to irritate him greatly. So it was that he decided he wanted to get away from the crowd, and he went upstairs to the balcony area. But lo and behold, the crowd that had been with him, they started to follow him. And again, were pressing upon him and asking him this thing and that thing. And then it was, he said, that they came and they chanted the Washington Mantra, as it was called. And the Washington Mantra was this: what do you do? What do you do? In other words, what's your job? What is it you do? And he was so sick and tired of them, and knowing that they were fawning over him, not because of any care and concern for him, but only because of what they could get for themselves. He then said to them, I'm a garbage man. And the folks were sort of looking, and then they said, oh, you own a garbage company. And he says, no, he says, I pick up garbage. That's my job, and I'm a garbage collector. And he said that a labored silence followed, that you could almost burst the silence with a pin. And then he started to speak to them in the midst of their silence, and he said, yeah, and you know what bugs me? People who put wet grass clippings and plastic garbage bags, you know how heavy that is? Why don't people think? And it seems that the man rambled on and on and on. And as he rambled on and on, his audience began to squirm. And it was that they knew that he had trapped them. And as long as he talked, it was that they could say nothing. And so when it is that he finally stopped, nobody said a word. And then one by one, they started to leave him until it was that he was left by himself. Now, why was this man left alone? Well, this man was left alone because there was no one there who aspired to share in his particular brand of boasting. Boasting that he was a garbage man. Boasting about what it is that took place when he lifted up the garbage bags. And it's a reminder to us, I think, that we all tend to enjoy certain kinds of boasting, and it is that we place a value in boasting about things that we consider to be worthy, that we consider to be worthy of our time, that we consider to be worthy of attention, and for us to put in any effort into pursuing these things. I mean, the question, I think, for us at the end of the year tonight is this. What sort of boast do you value? When it is that you look back over the year and you try to assess how it is that the year has gone for you spiritually and in other ways, what sort of boast is it that you value at the end of this year? Men boasting should remind themselves that we're sinful men. That's why it is that we read James in James's letter. And this is what James said. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And James is reminding us of two root problems. The first is that everyone is blinded by their boasting. And it is that we fail to recognize that. It's something that we are blind to actually seeing. Think about Nebuchadnezzar. There it is that he's walking on the roof of his palace. And you can imagine something of the self-satisfaction, even in the words that he utters from his palace as he looks upon this great city that is his. And he says this in Daniel 4:30. Is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? And it is that we know that immediately what happened to him after it was that these boastful words came out of his mouth. Just this past number of weeks at the beginning of the month, I think I've told you before that when I was a teenager in the UK, I really was a disciple of John Lennon, far less Jesus Christ. And it struck me that at the beginning of December there, that it was 40 years since John Lennon had been murdered. And it made me think, wow, you're getting old, Alan, 40 years since that took place. And it just seemed like yesterday. But you remember where it was that John Lennon boasted in 1966. And it caused such a furore in North America. He said, Christianity will go. We are more popular than Jesus now. Where's John Lennon? Christ is still here. God's word is still here. It's still being proclaimed. And John Lennon, great composer that he was, musician that he was, it is that he was taken from this scene of time. What about the mob when it was that they sought to boast about Herod? And it is that they offered him hero worship, Acts 12:22. And they began to shout, this is the voice of a God, not of a man. And what we see in terms of these examples is that these individuals were constantly boasting in things of this world, in things that they considered they were able to do in terms of their own power and their own strength, and how it's so antithetically different to the boasting that it is that we're called to in the scripture. But it is that Paul says that he boasts about nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. And for us in 2017 that God would give to us, surely that's the challenge. That in terms of the temptation to boast about so many things, the one person and the one thing that we should be boasting about is who Christ is and what Christ has done and is continuing to do for his people and his church. And it is that we're being told here, don't boast about tomorrow. Why not? Why not boast about tomorrow? when it is that tomorrow just seems to have come along as the past 360, what is it, tomorrows have over this past year? Well, the reason that we're told not to boast about tomorrow is because tomorrow is one of the frailest things in all of creation. And it is that we so readily forget that. We can boast about the CN Tower and say how tall it is. We can boast about our city and say that Toronto is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of the cities on the face of this earth. We can boast and be tempted to boast about how good it is that we're at doing certain things. But it is that the scripture is warning us and saying to us, you may boast about other things, but don't boast about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow is too unsubstantial. Tomorrow is a fleeting thing, allied with the fact that you are a fleeting thing. That it is that your life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And it may be the case that that very life will be gone even before it is that tomorrow has begun. And it is that because we're finite, we cannot see tomorrow. And why then is it that we boast about tomorrow? You know, in terms of the rainbow and how it is that supposedly there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And I can remember one time in Scotland when I was with Alison and the children, and we were out one day, and typical Scotland, it was raining very heavy. And then it was that the sun began to shine. I mean, you get the sun and the rain at the same time, and things like that. And then this beautiful rainbow appeared. And I can remember saying to the children as we were in the car, do you know at the end of the rainbow, there's supposed to be a pot of gold? And of course, the little eyes just sort of lit up. And I said, so let's go and see if we can find the end of the rainbow and find the pot of gold. So it was that we went down various roads. I mean, I was thinking back when I was mad. But we went down various roads and so on. And every time we thought we were getting to the end of the rainbow would seem to be somewhere else. And after a while, I said to them, we can't find the end of the rainbow. And they said, well, we'll not find the gold then. And it was like that. And you see, that's sometimes, I think, the way in which it is that we see tomorrow. That tomorrow is like the pot of gold that's supposed to be at the end of the rainbow. And it is that we spend so much time in today trying to find that pot of gold that we've got no earthly chance of finding. It's not there. And no matter how much time and effort you spend in today in trying to boast and know something about tomorrow, you will never find it. And if anything, it will be the case that that's what will put you into an early grave. Because you've lost sight of how important the present is. You see, tomorrow is the frailest and the most brittle of things that you can imagine. Have you ever put tiles up on a wall? And it is that these ceramic tiles, that maybe you've got some bits that are, you've got to make very intricate cuts and awkward cuts. And I can remember I was doing a job once in the kitchen, not here, this was in Scotland. And there was just a couple of tiles left. Well, I can tell you the number of tiles I went through, trying eventually to get these two tiles finished. Because every time I got to the bit where I thought, that's it, just one more cut, ding! The tile would break in half, and you'd have to start again. That's what this is like. So brittle, so frail, so unforgiving in a sense, like the tile that just breaks, no matter how careful you're trying to be with it. And we therefore can't boast about tomorrow, because we may never have it, and even if we had it, it may end up deceiving us. And you may end up wishing that the day had never begun at all. You ever been in that position? It's almost as though you're jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, because it is that you fail to recognize that the scripture is saying, don't boast about tomorrow. Take to do with today and with the unfolding of God's providence for you where you are at this moment in time. I was reading about somebody who was going on one of these chat shows, and this was quite a number of years ago. And it is that this individual was the editor of a magazine, and it was a vitamin and health food magazine. And the magazine was called a Prevention. And this magazine, it seems, it was full of suggestions of various sorts. And these suggestions were about overcoming sickness, how it would be that you could live longer, how you could keep the weight off, and so on. and live a healthier lifestyle and things like that. And it is the individual in question that he was sort of in his mid-50s, but he looked as though he was in his mid-30s. That's the sort of chap that he was, and it seems he had boundless energy and was bouncing about, even as he was talking about the vitamins and so on that he takes. And then it is that he said to the folk, "I'm going to live until I'm 100. And everybody's clapping and cheering as he's saying this. And then he moves and eventually sits down on the couch for the next guest that was coming on to be interviewed. And it seems that he didn't appear to take much interest in the person as he walked onto the stage. And not only that, but as the person themselves sat down, that he began to bow his head, and he was looking at his own feet, supposedly, and the audience began to giggle when it was that, and they thought this was something that he was deliberately doing. But the merriment soon stopped when it was that this individual slumped to the floor and fell there and was dead. He never got up off the floor. And yet, just minutes previous, he's declaring in a loud voice, "I am going to live until I am 100 years of age." How foolish. He died of a massive heart attack. And he was feeling so good about himself, so self-promotional, so boastful. And then he was gone. And I think it's incumbent upon us as God's people that we take these things to heart. Because another year is gone. I'm now entering into my, 20th year as your pastor. I can scarce believe that. That 20 years have gone by so, for me, they've gone by so quickly. And the changes even that we've seen as a congregation, what by brothers and sisters in Christ who sat with us in this very room, this very place, and yet they're no longer here. They've been taken to glory and they're with the Lord. And James says to us, as it is, you boast and you brag, but all such boasting is evil. You see, this individual, he had one area of in his life that he was very knowledgeable about, vitamins and healthy eating. But it was just one piece of the jigsaw in terms of life. And certainly he'd become an authority with regard to that single piece of the jigsaw. But the other pieces, the length of life, human unpredictability, the divinely forged connection between sin and death, and the whole picture that the scripture presents to us, he knew nothing about all these things. And the reality was that the youngest child in the kingdom of God knew far more than that individual ever knew. John Calvin said this, "Men arrogate too much to themselves when they think that they excel in anything. Men arrogate too much to themselves when they think that they excel in anything." And James puts it quite bluntly when he says, this is evil. This boasting, this bragging, because it has as its source the evil one. Think of what it is that the scripture teaches in Genesis 3 concerning the evil one. He boasted what it was that he would be able to do for our first parents. He boasted to the Son of God, "If you fall down and you worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." What audacity for this a Satan to stand before Christ and to tempt him in this way. And every time it is that we hear someone bragging and boasting about themselves or something else, it is that we should think about the pit. Because it's the pit from which it is that's the source of all pride. And our boasting in and of ourselves shows that at the end of the day, really we're about sinful men. There's another aspect about boasting about tomorrow, why we shouldn't do it. It's foolish, it's frail, it's exceedingly hurtful. It's hurtful to us in every way. Think about those who boast about what they're going to do. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other in the future. And yet, often the truth is that they've never done anything even in the present. But it is that they're saying we're going to do this and that and the other. Think about those who say, "I'm going to save a fortune in the future," but it is that they've never saved a cent even now. But it is that they talk about these things. And people like that, what they're doing is they're building, they're spending their time building castles in the air. but it is that they've got no stones left with which to build even a little cottage in the ground. Because it is that the things have no substance to them. That it's just, I think the term in software engineering was it vaporware? That you get software companies that would say that there's this great piece of software they're producing and so on. And it is that months and years go by and nothing's being produced. And the term came about, it was coined vaporware. Probably taken from the scripture, perhaps. What's your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Promises so much, but at the end of the day, there's nothing there. And when it is that you have that mindset, all the energies and the talents that God has given to you, it is that you're wasting them on a tomorrow that is so frail. And you've consequently got no time or ability to reap the fields of the present and what it is that God gives to us in the present. For we're waiting for the heavy harvest of the future. And you see how foolish that is. I remember I was just beginning my ministry. And it was the case that this minister who was coming to the end of his ministry, that he said to me, and this is what he said. He says, one of the very worst things, Alan, a minister can possess is to have anybody to recommend him. And I remember at the time thinking, what does he mean by that? And then he went on to say, he says, so the people say, here comes a man, how he will preach, how eloquent he will be. And he says, the poor pastor can never come up to the expectations of those who are boasting about him. And the end result is that they're disappointed. And that sort of example applies to boasting about tomorrow. It is that we give tomorrow such flattering praise. Tomorrow is everything. Tomorrow is perfection. The todays are nothing. Todays are but exhausted minds, and it is that we get little from them. And we have only to get the tomorrows, and when we get them, then we become immensely rich and wealthy. But the tomorrow so often never comes. It never comes, and when it does, we're disappointed because it doesn't turn out as we hoped it would. There's one person wrote this beatitude, and I thought, yeah, it's a good beatitude. They said, blessed is the man that expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. And there's a lot of truth in that, especially with regard to tomorrow, especially with regard to the year that lies ahead. I mean, in some ways, 2017, when we consider the political situation at the moment, when we consider the saber rattling that's taking place between Russia and America and Syria and elsewhere, from a geopolitical perspective, 2017 is looking extremely interesting and perhaps even discouraging. But it is that we don't know what the next day is going to bring. I mean, Donald Trump, he starts to boast about this and that and tomorrow. Maybe it is that those of us who tweet should tweet Proverbs 27:1 to him and say, Donald, don't boast about tomorrow, because it is that you don't know what a day may bring. And that's how practical and important this is for us as the people of God. And to take to heart these things. Because it is that we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Think about the person who boasts of tomorrow and says that they've got plenty of time to repent and to turn to God. How many, even within the midst of our churches, that's the mindset that they have? We've all come across the individual who said to us, well, when I come to die, I'll be on my deathbed, and when it is that I'm on my deathbed, it's then that I'll say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And yet, death just comes like that, and they're gone. I don't know if you saw it in the news last night. There was an Air Canada flight going from Glasgow to Toronto yesterday, and it ended up having to stop off at Shannon Airport in Ireland. And the reason that it had to do so was because a little girl of 10 years of age had taken a heart attack. And by the time they got to Shannon Airport, she was gone. I remember last night thinking, even as I was preparing for tonight, wow, 10 years of age. You would say she's got her life ahead of her. So many things to look forward to, and so on. And no doubt she got on that flight, and if she was flying over back home or flying over to see relatives and so on at this Christmas time, no doubt how happy she and her parents and family were. And yet within 5 hours of the flight taking off from Toronto, she's no longer in this scene of time. That's how careful we have to be concerning boasting about tomorrow. It is, there is that hourglass, and it's running constantly and daily. And it is that we should really look at the grains that are falling and reminding ourselves that not only are we not guaranteed tomorrow, far less the year that lies ahead, but we're not even guaranteed the next minute or the next moment between the grains of sand falling to the ground. I mean, think on it. Last Lord's Day evening of 2016, and each one of us is another year closer to the moment either of our departure from this world or closer to that moment when it is that Christ returns. Is that something that's determining how it is that we'll live in 2017 with God's help? I can scarce believe the age I am now and how quickly the years have gone by. I see some of you here tonight, and when I came here, you were little. Now some of you are towering over me, and I'm looking up to you. And I'm saying, man, the time has gone so quickly. And yet, we're told, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day will bring. And finally, don't boast about tomorrow in the shape of resolves to do better. Many of you started your New Year's resolutions and writing them down. I've got to be honest, I've given up. And the reason I've given up is because over the years, littered around me are the debris of my resolutions, and they're enough to build a cathedral with. The resolutions that I made and the resolutions that even within the first week were nowhere to be seen. And when we look back over the year, resolutions that we made, broken vows that perhaps that have happened this year, and all of us have experienced this. If it is that broken resolutions were money, we'd all be richer than Bill Gates. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I'll pray better tomorrow. I'll read my Bible better tomorrow. I'll stop that sin tomorrow. I'll start attending church tomorrow. And so on and so on and so on. But you don't know if you'll see tomorrow. You have to do it now. You have to do it now. We give God thanks for the year that has gone by. We give God thanks for the many ways that he's blessed us. And it is that we can face 2017 with a hope and a confidence that the worldly person cannot have. But let's beware and be careful concerning how we relate to the tomorrows that God would give to us. And let us, even as we'll sing, ask the Lord to help us to number our days aright and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. The Lord bless these thoughts. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that, again, we thank you that you have granted us another year, a year in which it is that we have been enabled to enjoy the good things that you give to us in this world. But it is that we have also been enabled to have fellowship with yourself and with your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is that we pray that as this year ends, and God willing, as another year begins, that what would excite us and what would encourage us more than before are spiritual things, things that are of substance, things that are lasting, things, O Lord, that we be not only for the good of our body, but for the good of our soul and the advancement of your kingdom in our midst. Forgive us, Father, for the times when it is that we have boasted in our own strength, when it is that we have boasted about what we are going to do tomorrow. And we look back and we see that so often we have ended up doing nothing. And therefore we pray that you might help us to number our days aright, to apply our hearts unto wisdom, and to know that whatever the next week or the next 52 weeks of 2017 hold for any one of us, that all has been known to you from before the beginning of time. And it is therefore that we might face each day with a confidence and with a hope that the natural man or woman knows nothing of. So, Father, it is again that we thank you for the blessings of this your day. We thank you that you have enabled us to meet here this night freely and without fear of persecution. And we ask, Lord, now that you might take us to our homes in safety and guide us in the days that you allot unto us. Hear us and forgive sin. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.